With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Tech Talk with Jess Kelly.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With cybersecurity solutions from Vodafone, your business can hack off the hackers. See vodafone.ie/business.
This is News Talk.
Yeah, you're very welcome along to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. Coming up over the next hour, we'll look at the €900 games console. Is it worth the money? And we'll hear about the Chinese phone manufacturers changing the game when it comes to battery life. As always, you can email the show techtalk@newstalk.com or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. But first...
Seriously, do you think this new development would have helped people in broadcasting? Do you see it as being used in broadcasting?
As a matter of fact, it does come in useful. The other day on the Today at 5 programme, we had to talk to a friend of yours, actually, Tom Darby.
That's a clip of my dear colleague, Pat Kenny, on the very first mobile phone call, which took place 40 years ago this week. It was the first time a mobile call happened in this country. How insane. Pat spoke to then Minister Jim Mitchell in that clip. But earlier this week, he recounted that moment alongside Derek Cassidy, founder of the Irish Communications Research Group.
To ask you about the time you were awarded Best Dressed Man of the Year. What I want to know is, how can an interviewer on RTE afford to be Best Dressed Man?
Well, it's quite simple, really, Minister. In RTE, we can dress for half price because we only have to dress from the waist up.
Seriously, do you think this new development would have helped people in broadcasting? Do you see it as being used in broadcasting?
As a matter of fact, it does come in useful. The other day on the Today at 5 programme, we had to talk to a friend of yours, actually, Tom Darby.
Do you actually talk to Tom Darby?
Okay, you may recognise one voice there, which has deepened a little with the years. That's my own voice, because 40 years ago, the first ever official mobile phone call was made between me and the former Minister of Communications, the late Jim Mitchell. It was on this day, 40 years ago, 1985. And it was at a time when Ireland had the lowest uptake in landline services, and then it went on to become one of the leaders in mobile phone usage. We go back to that call 40 years ago. I suppose I should explain. The minister was often at odds with Tom Darby, who was the Secretary General of the National Busman's Union at the time. And there were fractious relationships. So that was the crack about that. And I had been voted Ireland's best dressed man. And that was his crack about that. And that was the bit of fun we had on the day. But I'm not sure that we felt the hand of history was on our shoulders at the time. It was an important, exciting development, but we could not possibly foresee what lay ahead.
Yeah. Well, when you actually think about it, 11 months earlier, the UK had actually set up their system as well. So we were in the middle of a downturn, the longest one in Europe. And the fact is that Telecom Ireland decided to actually build a network, to invest money into something that would hopefully bring Ireland into the future.
Now, at the time, it was very hard to get a landline.
Yes.
I remember when I finally got a landline in my home in Leinster Road, off Leinster Road in Rathmines. The reason I got it was in 1979, the Pope came, and I was doing commentary on the Pope, so therefore I had to be contactable. Yeah. And there were no mobile phones in 79, but I couldn't get a landline. But suddenly I leapt up the priority list,
yeah,
and six people arrived to install a landline. I mean, that's the way it was in those days. Six people arrived to install that.
Yeah, imagine that. Six engineers calling to your house to install a landline so that you can report on the Pope. And then you go on to make the first mobile phone call in Ireland. Pat Kenny, he's some buck. But I loved listening to that conversation during the week because it shows just how much technological transformation has gone on over the past four decades. And it got me talking with some of my friends and some of my colleagues here in the office about memories of our first phones. Do you remember your first mobile phone? What was it and when was it? What did you use it for? I remember I got my first phone, I think I was in second class, and I wanted a phone because my sister had a phone. My sister's 5 years older than me. My device was a blocky Motorola. I still have it, actually. It's under my desk here in News Talk. And it was powered by three AAA rechargeable batteries. And what's funny and what I like to think about is I had nobody to call at that point. Very few, if any, of my friends had phones. I remember by the time we got into the sixth class, a lot of us had the Nokia 3310s. But at that stage, I had nobody to call. It was a Motorola, so it didn't even have Snake or any of the games on it. There's something kind of sweet and pure about that time. And as I said, I still have it and I love that phone. It's like a proper piece of history, not only technological history, but also my history as well. But tell me about your first phone. Can you remember what it was? Do you still have it? Are you a tech hoarder like me? Email me techtalk@newstalk.com. I'd also love if you have any pictures as well. If you do, you can tag me at JessKellyNT. So we had that gorgeous bit of nostalgia on one of the days this week. And then another day of the week saw the banning of social media for under 16s in Australia. Now, this is something that we have spoken about quite a bit on this show over the last number of months, but it's now in action. And Minister O'Donovan has said Ireland is watching closely to see how this plays out. And there is work being done in this country on an age verification system. This is something that on paper seems like a good idea, but Joe O'Brien, the executive director of the ICCL, spoke to Newstalk Breakfast earlier in the week about some of his concerns.
Broadly, we welcome government's commitment to do better, I think, in protecting children online and the damage that's done by social media, and it's an area we've been advocating on for quite a while. It's just that some of the proposals around the digital wallet that have been in the media over the last week, we have questions about them. So I suppose we want to contribute to the debate. But my understanding is it's going to be discussed at Cabinet this morning. And there are three particular issues that I hope are aired at Cabinet today. The first one is the verification process. And, you know, on the face of it, a lot of people will go, well, what's the harm of getting under 16s to verify their age and who they are? The difficulty is you can't really have a system like that unless you get everybody to do it. And the proposal is that the government is doing this. So we got to try and picture what that looks like.
Is that such a big deal, though, if I have to verify my age online in order to protect young people from harm?
Well, what I was going to say, we have to picture what that looks like when it comes to fruition, if it does so. And that's essentially the state controlling everyone's access to social media. Now, as you say, a lot of people might not have a major issue with that, but there are questions around democracy on that. And it's not dissimilar from how things are done in China at the moment in terms of control of social media. The second point, though, I think is a more practical one. The system that is supposedly going to work as a sort of a piggyback on this digital wallet process is the public services card and the MyGovID. And earlier this year, the Data Protection Commissioner actually found that the public services card project was illegal for various reasons, including issues around transparency and overreach in terms of taking biometric data. But our third question that I hope is asked at Cabinet today is that there is a proposal that there will be cooperation with social media companies to actually do the verification. Google and Apple were mentioned around verification. And I think there's a bit of naivety, perhaps, to think that Google and Apple have all our best interests at heart and the protection of children at heart, because these are the types of companies that are actually overseeing the damage that's being done. So these are questions we would like asked. I think everyone wants to protect children. There are issues, certainly, with the damage being done to children on social media. But if it's going to be done, it needs to be done properly. And these are three initial questions that we would like asked and answered.
Yeah, that's Joe O'Brien, Executive Director of the ICCL. Now, my personal view is that age verification is a good idea, but those concerns outlined there would need to be addressed. I'd be more in favour of age verification than an outright ban. As I've said a million times, there's more tech companies can do to keep our young people safe online. And I think all of this is progress towards it, but there's no such thing as a silver bullet solution. The reason I'm not in favour of an all-out ban is, and I've said this many times, but I wasn't the smartest, the funniest, the sportiest, the whateverest in school. I only really found my tribe and my little path when I engage with technology. Now, I know the risks have gone through the roof since I was in school, but at the same time, there is good and there can be good that comes from online communities and online activities. It's just up to putting the parameters and the measures in place that firstly stamp out as many opportunities for bad things to happen as possible. And then secondly, having processes in place that work, that support people who are targeted in some way by the negative side of things. But I'd love to know your thoughts. If you're a parent, what would you like to see happen? What would help you sleep better at night when it comes to your kids online? TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email. The other point that I wasn't going to make, but Sherlock, I'm here now, I might as well, is that I am in favour of identity verification across the board in terms of tackling online abuse. This is not about curbing free speech, but it's about stopping really negative, harmful content from appearing on the feeds of individuals on a day-to-day basis. I had another instance this week where I just got an absolute pile-on for doing my job. And while I have developed a thicker skin over the last few years, I really think we cannot allow sexualized, gendered, personal abuse to become the norm and to be tolerated online. This is not a pity party, but I do feel a sense of responsibility to talk out about it, because the level and type of abuse female journalists face online is different to what my male colleagues get. I have no issue with people disagreeing with points that I make and not liking me or not listening to me or whatever, but I do have an issue with attacks. I got attacked online. My appearance was attacked. There was horrible comments posted to me and about me. And you know why? Because I was doing my job. It's not acceptable. And I'm always going to call it out when I see it. I wasn't upset by it. I wasn't hurt by it. I was baffled by it. And I had to really restrain myself from DMing these men going, "Are you okay?" Because they literally didn't like what I said. They disagreed with what I said. But rather than articulating that, they came after me. And I hate to think that a young girl or woman who wants to go into tech journalism, sports journalism, any facet of journalism, sees that level of abuse and thinks, it's not for me. Because that is what happens. I've spoken to people who have talked themselves out of being on air for fear of getting abuse. And it's just not acceptable. As I said, I will always call it out. And I would like to think that most others would too. So if you see something like that, say it. Don't laugh along or don't look the other way. It's not right. And it's on all of us to make sure it does not become the norm. That's my rant of the day. Over. We'll be right back.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As a season shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.